Congressman Ron Kind with us right now. You just finished up an informational session with some help from various agencies concerning the Affordable Care Act. This is not the first one you've conducted. What are you learning, and what are the people coming to these events learning about this?
Well, I thought it's time just to get the facts out. I'm calling these just the facts forums, just to help people understand what's coming up with the creation of the state-based health insurance exchanges and what, if anything, they're going to be asked to do. Obviously, the exchanges are meant to cover the 500,000 uninsured Wisconsinites that we have here, see if there's a way of providing affordable quality health care coverage for them. And starting October 1, they can start signing up for a health care plan that fits their needs. They'll be able to go into this exchange at healthcare.gov and choose amongst competing health care plans and be able to choose one that makes sense based on benefits and price. And then, depending on their income level, probably qualify for premium tax credits so they can better afford the health care that they need for themselves or for their family. So, you know, it was good to have representatives from the Department of Health and Human Services here to walk through the process, the Small Business Administration, even the IRS, about the IRS role as far as tax credits and who qualifies for that.
Let's cover a couple of basics, because a lot of our listeners look at this Affordable Care Act and they say, I don't understand one thing about it. Who is even supposed to sign up? So we know that Medicare recipients do nothing, right?
That's right. And listen, if you already are receiving health care coverage through your employer, that won't change. If you're getting it through Medicare, that won't change. If you're getting it through the VA system, that won't change. I just described over 90% of Americans that won't have to do anything with the exchanges that are being set up. The exchanges are meant for those who currently are uninsured and they don't have access to affordable health care coverage in their lives. So they'll now, on October 1, have the chance to go to healthcare.gov and start signing up amongst the competing health care plans. And then there'll be a calculator that they can plug in numbers to see what they would qualify for in regards to premium tax credits. So it is more affordable for them. And there's just a lot of confusion out there, a lot of misinformation, too. And that's why I just wanted to give people the straight skinny, just the facts of what's coming up without the political spin or anything like that. And that's what we intend to do, you know, between now and January 1st, when the health plans will be in business.
Now, one of the things that you mentioned is that people who are uninsured can get into this. I understand this also covers the people presently on Medicaid or Badger Care.
Well, some of them may be booted off from Badger Care because of the governor's decision. Roughly 93,000 are currently receiving Badger Care, will no longer at the end of the year. His intent is to push them into these exchanges. And so we're going to be working with them as far as the transition to help them make choices so that they can continue to receive some affordable health care coverage in their lives.
The panel had to answer a few questions from business people today about what they are expected to do.
Right.
Are you getting a lot of that?
Yeah, you know, there's still confusion. If you're a business with 50 or fewer workers, you do not have to provide health care coverage. If you are, you're entitled to a 35% tax credit this year. That goes up to a 50% tax credit next year. And starting next year, those small businesses can join what's called the SHOP Exchange, and that's especially for small businesses, so they can collectively leverage their clout in the exchange and get a better price, the same way big companies are able to do today. I believe for a long time that the small group market was failing too many individuals, small businesses, family farmers, by not providing the affordable coverage that they need. These exchanges, whether they're for the individual exchange or the small business exchange, is meant to create competition where it's lacking today. And I know that when insurance companies compete against each other, we typically are the winners then at the end of the day.
You had mentioned in one of your responses to a comment from the audience that this plan should actually save, I believe it's $1.3 trillion over 20 years. How does that happen?
Well, it's through changes in the healthcare delivery system, the payment system within healthcare, some of the funding reforms that we have as part of the Affordable Care Act, but also some additional revenue that's being raised to help pay for the changes in the healthcare system. Ultimately, the goal is to change the way healthcare is delivered so it is more efficient and we get better outcomes. That's through more integrated, coordinated, patient-centered care, what many of our healthcare providers in this region have shown us that work and work very well. And then ultimately pay for the value or the quality of care that's given and no longer the volume of services that are rendered. Right now, the way we pay for healthcare is backwards. We pay for how much is done rather than how well it's done. And we're changing that now through different payment methods, different models of care, like affordable care organizations or medical homes, that could lead to better quality of care at a better price. And I hope that's a goal everyone shares.
As we look at the old system versus what the new system might be, under the quantity model where Medicaid pays a fixed rate for a specific service,
yeah,
a lot of those cases it doesn't cover the actual cost of that service. Do you believe the new model where you're paying for the quality of the service will actually pay an appropriate amount that covers the cost of that job, but you just won't have to pay for it as often?
You know, if we can get to a quality-based or a value-based reimbursement system, Wisconsin's going to do a lot better than what we have in the past. I mean, typically in Wisconsin, we pay about $5,000 per Medicare beneficiary today. Miami, Florida, it's closer to $18,000 a year. But the results down there are much worse than the results that we're getting here. So if we can emphasize the outcome of care and not the volume of services, I think Wisconsin's going to do very, very well under that payment model.
People who are potential sign-ups for this program and businesses large and small have some resources online, don't they?
They do. Yeah, they can go to healthcare.gov. That's probably the most important website people can access to get questions answered. The Small Business Administration has their own website, sba.gov, that can walk through the implications for small business owners, the tax credits they'd qualify for, and what they need to do or not do under the circumstances. My office is always available, too. I've got a website up that links to the others. And my staff has been fully trained, too, to answer phone calls and help people through the sign-up period that, again, starts on October 1st. So the truth is, you know, there's going to be stumbles, there's going to be hiccups, there's going to be hurdles to overcome. But once people start making decisions, then things tend to calm down fairly quickly.
We should also mention that people who are out there possibly on an employer plan right now should expect some kind of a letter by the end of the month, shouldn't they?
Yeah, the business is required to inform their employees if they're going to be providing health care coverage or not. And that way it gives the employees enough notice that if they have to go into the exchange and shop around, they can start doing that by October 1st. But those businesses with 50 or more employees, 95% of them are already providing health care coverage, even though they don't have to today. And they do it for a variety of reasons. Many of them think it's the right thing to do to make sure that their employees are getting sufficient coverage. They do it for recruitment and retention purposes to help them be more competitive in the workforce. And that's great because we're not asking them to change then. But for those small businesses, for 50 or fewer workers, they do not have to provide coverage. But if they choose to, they'll be eligible for tax credits to make it more affordable.
One of the most noticeable things because of the Affordable Care Act is 40-hour week is no longer the full-time work week. Now it's 30.
Yeah, you know, the full-time equivalence standards, it's 30 hours or greater. And that's because there has to be a cutoff somewhere. You know, if we cut it at 30 or cut it at 40. But what we're not seeing in the data, that employers are making hiring decisions based on that. There's just no evidence to support that basis. And again, even for those employers with 50 or fewer workers, over 50% of them are already providing health care coverage for their workers. So once you start talking about, you know, 95% coverage by large businesses, over 50% coverage with small businesses, then you're starting to winnow it down to a very narrow group of people that we're really talking about with this. But this is going to be a work in progress, you know, healthcare reform. And ultimately, where my primary focus has been is how can we encourage a more efficient delivery system that leads to better outcomes at a better price? And I think one of the keys to doing that is making sure the financial incentives reward good quality of care and not just more care. In fact, there was a study last year that showed we spent over $750 billion in the healthcare system on things that didn't work, that didn't improve patient care. That's a huge amount of wasted money that's being spent right now in the healthcare system. If we can get just a fraction of that, we'd be way ahead of the game.
Backing up one bit there, are you getting a lot of concern or complaints about employers cutting hours back below 30?
Yeah, you know, we're going to wait and see how that works. It did not happen in Massachusetts, and there are many similarities. In fact, employer-based health care coverage increased after they passed their health care reform in Massachusetts. And again, there's going to be reasons why employers want to provide coverage for their workers. Many of them feel strongly that it's the right thing to do. They want to stay competitive in their business. They want to be able to recruit and retain the talent they need to be successful as a business. So we're going to be working with them, as we have throughout the entire process, listening to people, whether it's individuals or businesses or families, so we learn what is working and what isn't working, and then have the ability to make adjustments along the way.
Let's change topics before you have to go. A lot of discussion over in the Senate about Syria. Where are you there?
Well, even in the House. Obviously, the president is calling for an authorization vote next week in Congress. I am undecided. I am still asking questions and trying to get as much information as I can. I asked the Obama administration this week if they could supply a national intelligence assessment of what the day after may look like. If we do launch cruise missiles into Syria, what would be the likely response in the region from Syria, Hezbollah, Iran? Last thing I want to see is for us to get drawn into a prolonged military engagement in the Middle East on the heels of a decade-long two war in the same region that took a terrible toll on both troops and treasure. I don't think anyone wants to see boots on the ground or even overhead flights. And yet, the president's been emphasizing not doing something also delivers a message, especially to those dictators that have chemical or biological weapons. So this has to be a response from the international community. It can't be the United States acting alone. That's the only way it can be meaningful.
Right now, it appears the U.S. might be alone on this, and it's with two sides in a country that really don't like the U.S.
Yeah, and that's why I think the president has been extremely reluctant to getting us involved militarily in that civil war in Syria right now. Truth is, we don't have a lot of friends on either side of that conflict. Al-Qaeda is trying to establish a foothold. But again, for many years now, the international community has delivered a resounding message that you cross that line in deploying biological, chemical, or nuclear weapons, there are consequences to expect. And this is one of the tests to that.
Now we just have to wait and see if the other countries are willing to go there.
Well, you know, we've got support from France, from Turkey, from Jordan, from the United Arab League. Obviously, there is a coalition that feels strongly that something needs to be done with Assad and what he committed against his own people. But again, I have a lot of questions that need to be answered. And my concern is another military engagement in the Middle East after two wars this past decade there.